and welcome to another episode of the Paper Pencil Podcast Season 2. I am Swarnavo, as always, who else? The host of this show, and this is a place where I get to have lovely conversations with people from the art world and also crack super lame jokes, and you, of course, get to listen. If you enjoy listening to this episode, do consider subscribing to the podcast and do the amazing job of telling your friends about this show. You know, this line, I have said it so many times, I can actually, like, you know, repeat it in my dreams as well. But yeah, none of you are actually doing this amazing job of telling your friends about this show. So if you are listening to this right now, if you're those three people who are listening, please tell other three people as well. That'll really help us. And you can also tell them that they can also follow us on Instagram to stay updated on the upcoming episodes. The page name, of course, is Paper Pencil Podcast. Now, let's talk about today's guest. So last year, which is 2022, I had this amazing opportunity to go to this Children's Literature Fest in Delhi. Okay. On the last day of the Lit Fest, while packing my backpack in the guests waiting area, yeah, that sounds fancy. It was fancy as well. I chanced upon this lady. Okay. So she was walking around with two amazing personalities from the book world. So I kind of guessed she must be someone big as well. We started talking and I realized that she indeed is really, really big in terms of her artwork, of course. She gifted me these beautiful art prints that day and I immediately recognized her work. And at that moment, I knew I had to invite her to this podcast. So today I have with me in your ears, Sahitya Rani. She is joining us from Thane and she's an amazing illustrator. Like, I mean it. Okay. Her work is breathtaking. Check out her book, Yamini and the 7 PM Ghosts. You know, there's another one, Arun in Ruins. And you will know why I'm saying she is, you know, her work is breathtaking. She studied animation at NID. I guess the last 4 to 5 guests in this podcast have been NID graduates, but no one's complaining, so that's okay. She wanted to do engineering like a lot of other kids, but accidentally made her way into NID. Now, that is a story I want to know more about. So, Sahitya, welcome to the Paper Pencil Podcast.
Hi, sir. It's so nice to be here. I'm very, very excited about this. This will be the first ever podcast I've ever been a part of. So I'm glad I ran into you at Bukaru that day. Yeah. So this has finally sort of come to a full circle.
Yeah. So I didn't tell you. Did I tell you? Yeah, I do remember mentioning about the podcast, but I don't think I told you. But, you know, in my head, I made a mental note that, okay, this girl, I have to get her in the podcast. Because we had a lovely conversation. I don't know if you remember.
Yes.
You know, I was telling else. I was telling somebody else about that whole NID style and, you know, and you gave me good insight on that, like, which, of course, helped me, you know, understand that or get a different perspective, of course. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm looking forward to this conversation as well. I'm pretty sure it will be quite interesting. So, you know, let's begin the whole story. I know you are currently in Thane. I know you do a lot of children's books. I know you're from NID, but that's kind of all I know. Probably let's go back and, you know, let's revisit your journey and let's look at that. So yeah, take us through your journey. How did you reach where you are today?
So I was always one of those children who liked to draw, you know. I also happened to be very good at it as a child as well. And it was, you know, art class and everything was like my happy place. So, you know, bahut maza aata tha mujhe. And, you know, I was one of those kids who went to drawing classes after school. It was like one of those third and fourth standard kids running off to Anjali Miss's house. And we used to draw umbrellas and rainy days and, you know, a house on the mountain, those kind of drawings. So, school time, I was drawing and everything. And as I grew up, I just kept at it. And I had a phase where I used to just do a lot of portraits. And, you know, it was like, I have an exam tomorrow, but I'm done studying and I don't want to study anymore. So a day before the exam, I'll be sitting and just drawing.
So you were done studying because you did not like studying, or you were actually so good that you were just done with all your revisions?
And,
I have time to waste now.
No, actually, I can say that till the 10th, so I was very good at academics. I found it very easy. And after that is when calculus happened. And
calculus. So same for me as well. You know, I think I've mentioned this before. You know, I was okay with math. Okay, I didn't hate math as much. Yeah. Numbers, but the moment those alphabets came into mathematics, I kind of lost it over there. So that was the end of it. Like, alphabets, I couldn't take it. So yeah, that was for me as well. Yeah. So yeah, okay. And were you growing up in Thane? Where were you growing up?
I grew up in Thane. So I was born in Hyderabad, but then my father, he got transferred to Bombay in 94 for his job. So we've just lived in Thane since 94. So I've grown up here. My schooling was here. So the first time I actually left the city was when I went to NID for graduation. So yeah, so my schooling and everything was here, and I studied at an ICSE board school and really enjoyed, Julius Caesar and Macbeth and all of that.
Ah, same, same,
And
same. At one point,
so.
Julius Caesar, because since you spoke of Anjali, ma'am, I have to talk about Mr. Ambrose. Mr. Ambrose was my English teacher, and I used to kind of go to him for tutions as well. And he made sure that, in that class 10th, like that 1 year, there were paragraphs of Julius Caesar that I just remembered with full stop and comma. That's how much he, put that into us. So I could just stand up and recite with the right punctuations as well. So English literature exam was the easiest thanks to Mr. Ambrose. Like, that man was amazing. But yeah, so Julius Caesar and Macbeth, then.
Yeah, so that was basically what was happening academically in school. And in 11th and 12th, I was again at an ISC board. That was probably not a very good idea. So I was still doing science, and I was preparing for all your engineering entrances for IIT and AIIEE and everything, because you still have that mindset ki science kar lo, it'll open up some options. You will be able to do this if you want. You can change, and it was that sort of a mindset. So that way, my parents were like, listen, it's fine if you want to try other things, it's okay, but why not just stick to this so you have a bunch of options to pick from. I said, okay,
Same.
fair enough. So I ended up doing that, and used to go for those IIT prep classes and everything. Did that for about a year and a half, and I just gave up in the end because I realized, what, this is not my cup of tea. So towards the end, it actually got very confusing. I said, "Theek hai, I'm going to give all of the entrance exams, but I'm not really sure if I'm cut out for this. So what are my other options?" So towards the end, my dad was like, "Hey, do you want to give law a shot?" I said, "Okay, chalo, entrance de denge." So I attended another crash preparatory course for it for about a month and gave the law exam as well. And in the middle of all of this chaos, one of my father's family friends, they just visited, and they were like, "Hey, you know what? You're actually good at drawing, so why don't you apply to NID?" I said, "I don't know. I just have too many exams. It's right in the middle of IC, ISC prelims. I don't want to give another entrance exam. I'm just too tired." So they were like, okay, they didn't push me. A few weeks later, they said, "Hey, you know what? The application deadline has been extended. So why don't you just apply? Just give it a go. It's just, you don't have to worry about it." So I said, okay, fine. So maine apply kar diya, and then I just gave the exam. And I thought I didn't do very well in the entrance, in the written test. It was at JJ, I remember. I thought I didn't do very well. I said, okay, you know what? Jo hoga, so hoga. I don't really know anything about the college. Also, this was the only design school I'd applied to, like nowhere else, because I didn't even know that there was something called design school. I had no idea. So I was there, and I said, okay, I just forgot about it until, I got the result later saying that, hey, you selected for the second round. And at this point, I was like, oh, okay, chalo, Ahmedabad jana padega. And my whole outlook on this completely changed the minute I reached Ahmedabad and walked into campus for the
No,
studio testing.
yesterday, so not yesterday, I wouldn't say yesterday. So in a couple of episodes ago, because for the audience, they will be listening it a week later. So a couple of episodes ago, somebody said the exact same thing, that they reached the
Really?
campus, absolutely the same thing. They reached the campus and they saw it and they were like, that's it. Abhi to milna hi hai yahan pe. So that was the whole thing. So
So until then, I thought, okay, if engineering doesn't work out, we'll take a gap year. We'll probably try law again, because I did fairly well in the law entrance. Maybe another attempt, and I could have got into one of the national law schools or something. So I was like, okay, if none of this works out, I'll probably just try that, try this. But the minute I just walked onto campus, I see the building, see everything, and I was like, no, this is, if I don't get in, this is the only exam I'm going to give again next year. Like, I have to come here. This place is. And so we had the studio test and everything. And I remember Emmanuel Suresh was on my interview panel. He passed away a few years ago. He's one of the darling professors. And he was on the panel, and he was just this really smiley, sort of a person. And by this time, I was freaking out. I was nervous, you know, and I was like this close to tears because I didn't know what they were going to ask me, what was going to happen. But this very sweet man is just sitting in front of me and he's making caricatures of all the students that he's interviewing. And he just asked a few general questions, you know, ki yes. So he just had asked a few general questions and they just looked at some of my work. And this is when I was just doing portraits and I was copying photographs. So I was I was a good draftsman, but it's not like I had any original illustrations or something. I was just somebody who had the skills to draw fairly well and had been doing it for a while, you know. And I remember very distinctly, he asked, okay, so listen, if you don't get in today, will you apply next year? I said, no, I'm definitely coming back next year. I'm going to see you next year, you know. And he said, okay,
this
cool.
This is almost like roadies. Saithi, this sounds like roadies. Agle saal to aana hai. This is almost like...
He said, listen, I don't know.
Before you go ahead in this, just I'm sorry, but like, can you just tell me and the listeners as well, what is a studio test?
Oh, okay. So the studio test, when we walked in, they had a couple of, they had like multiple rounds back then. I think the format has changed now, actually. But back then they had a couple of rounds. Few of them were audiovisual questions, like you know, a bunch of us were taken to the auditorium and, you know, some sounds were played and there were some questions asked on that. Wow. So you had to answer them and then you submit that paper. Then after that, there was something where we were given a few materials, like there was some clay, there was some beads and some rope and stuff like that. And you had to make a particular object based on certain brief given to you. So these were all just the very practical sort of questions.
Wow.
And yeah, so, and the interview, there was a panel of, I think, three or four people. Three of them were NID faculty, and I think one of them was an external examiner. So after all of your studio tests, they would also just invite you in. They would look at the work that you had to show them and just ask you a few questions, get to know you better. So it was like a whole day of, you know, going from one part of the campus to the other. Just, yeah, so that the studio test, I think everything adds up and then they get back to you. 2010.
2010.
So this
was in 2010. Hey, you're a
92 kid, yeah? Yes, I'm a 92 kid.
When's your birthday?
Fourth Feb. It was a few days ago.
Oh, damn. Fourth Feb, happy birthday. We're still like,
thank you so much.
3 days away from it. So, yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, just 3 days ago. Thank you so much.
Yeah. But the audience will be listening to it much later. So, sorry, you guys. But yeah, you missed your chance of it.
Basically, the studio test is basically like that. You know, there are different kinds of questions, interactions, audiovisual material stuff where I think they just test you on every possible aspect and just to get to know you. And I strongly believe that, you know, NID does this thing where it's not really about just about your individual skills and, you know, how talented you are, but more of, hey, so we have a bunch of 100 kids coming in. And if we put all of them together in a room, how interesting is it going to be? So I feel like they just pick their characters based on that because, you know, I keep wondering why did I get in? Or I know a lot of people who wonder, it's like, how? I think I tanked the test, but I still ended up here. So I think I just believe that NID feels like we just want entertainment every
day. Is it like Big Boss happening on a larger scale? Is it like a design Big Boss happening on a larger scale? Like, you know, people picked in just for the whole purpose of mirth and entertainment.
I mean, I feel like, I mean, that's an interesting thought, but I just feel like it also, you know, is more important in the larger narrative sense, because when you're in design schools like this, a lot of the learning happens because of the people you interact with on a daily basis.
Yeah, I was hoping you would say that because, you know, I have heard this from a bunch of people again, especially NIDians, that, you know, it's you what you exactly said, that, you know, you learn a lot, not just from your professors and stuff, but you also learn a lot from the environment and the people around you. And I would imagine for the recruiters, it would make sense to, you know, maintain that culture of, you know, peer learning. And that's where probably, you know, hence the selection probably that makes
sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so you get it.
Yeah, so I was there and within 10, my interview lasted like 7 minutes or something. And Suresh sends me out with a biscuit and I said, okay, this is done. And yeah, he was just one of those sweet people, you know. Anyway, so that happened. And a few months later, I figured out that I learned that I've gotten in and I come to campus. And the first thing that we have to get to is basically unlearning everything right. that you have possibly learned until then, or any preconceived notions that you might have about the place, because everything is just felt new. You're suddenly in this batch of 100 kids from all across the country. Everyone's immensely talented. Everyone is like, and not just at art, but like mm-hmm. everywhere, you know? Right. And so, yeah, so that was a bit of a whoa sort of a thing. As soon as I
but
got
when you say unlearn, so Saitha, when you said unlearn, so can you give me an example? Like, you know, what kind of thing, like, you know, did you have to unlearn to kind of, I wouldn't say fit in, but to kind of really start learning with that open mindset?
You know, just things like there is no one way to draw. You know, like okay. realism is not okay. just it. Even when it comes to conceptual sort of art, different degrees of abstraction are highly dependent on where this person is from, the kind of visual language they've grown up with, you know, the kind of just entertainment and culture that they have consumed mm-hmm. and how that reflects in their work. And it's just about, you know, breaking out of your mindsets, you know, right. something that you've spent 18 years, like this is, you would think that, okay, this is the kind of art that is objectively good. And this
right.
is,
right.
You know, so all of that just completely shatters. And then there are also a lot of things that you would believe, okay, I'm doing this, but you don't really know the name for it. Like, you don't really know that you are thinking about composition, or you are thinking about color theory. You are thinking about what materials work, or, you know, what mood you're trying to set. But you slowly begin to develop a vocabulary, mm-hmm. you know, to describe all of this. So it's actually like unlearning and learning that kind of language, honestly.
Makes sense.
So it was, yeah, so it was all of that. And well, of course, you know, I'm sure you know the curriculum first year was common foundation everything.
Yeah.
And I was very excited about doing animation because I assumed that it would be a lot of drawing and everything. However, I started animation. I was honestly, I'm not that good an animator. I realized it's not something that I have a knack for. It's not something that I really enjoyed. So I actually did struggle with, you know, the animation stuff, like actual right. animating. Right. I did struggle with it quite a lot, but I did enjoy a lot of the narrative and the pre-production sort of courses that we had. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to jump to when we had to do our internships at the end of third year. Mm-hmm. Because that's where I interned in Bangalore for a bit. You must have heard of Kishore Mohan. And yeah, so he's a comic book artist. A bunch of them, actually, they were based in Bangalore back then. Mm-hmm. And so there was Kishore, and there was Roshan, and there was Sinu. There was this small studio called Dragon Mill Media, and I interned there. Mm-hmm. And these guys also introduced me to Prateek and Tina Thomas of Studio Kokachi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this internship was important because that's when I discovered that I actually really like comics and
right.
the whole sequential narrative kind of work. So this was my introduction to the graphic novel world.
Oh, this guy is good. I was just, while you mentioned
Kishore. Yeah, Kishore's work is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you must get in touch with Kishore. He's also like one of the sweetest and most like welcoming people. And I'm sure he'll make an amazing guest for your podcast as well. He has so much to offer.
Yeah, I'm just going to like, dude, his work is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Let's continue. Yeah, I'll probably reach out to you. Kishore, if you're listening, I'm coming
yes.
to you. Okay, yeah. so then you come to Bangalore.
So I come to Bangalore and, you know, Kishore and all of them, they lent me a couple of graphic novels like Day Tripper by Fabio Moon and Gabriel Bad. That was like the first graphic novel I properly read. And then they were working on games and 2D animated shows at that time. So I was just doing a bit of illustrated stuff for their work. But really, I spent my internship just hanging out with them, reading graphic novels and learning more about comics and the kind of other work that they do outside of what I see in the studio. So after that, I met Prateek and Tina, and I ended up doing my graduation project with Prateek and Tina of Studio Kokachi. So there's they had a series called the Matchbox Comics, and I did one little Matchbox comic in it called There's No Such Thing called a Kokachi. So that little accordion sort of thing was my graduation project. So this is when I kind of had some more clarity ki, you know, comics or picture books and graphic novels, this is the kind of stuff I'm a lot more comfortable doing, and I'm not as intimidated by all of this work as I am by animation, you know, like proper traditional animation. And so around this time, a lady called Sridevi Gopakumar, she got in touch with me to say that, hey, I've written a story and would you like to illustrate it?
Right.
So I said, sure, you know. So
wait, at this time you're still in college, is it?
Like I was working on, I was still in college. Right. This was right before my graduation around that time, like, you know, last fourth year or something. We were doing a graduation.
Does this happen a lot? You know, you've given me insights into NID before as well. So this is me coming to you again. Does this happen a lot? Because, you know, this is another thing which I've noticed and I've heard from a lot of people I've spoken to. You know, today, let's say the children's book illustrators that I have connected with or I have spoken to, I do share this a lot that, you know, they probably got their first project when they're in the fourth year, the final year just before graduation. Is that a thing that, you know, a lot of publishers or, you know, people reach out to the graduating students to kind of, you know, with book projects or something for some reason?
I don't know, but usually what happens around second, third year is people have already done some work and they start putting up their Behance portfolios and they start sharing it. And a lot of people have interned in one or two places by then. You begin to build that really small, limited network at that point, at least. So it's not uncommon that, you know, people reach out to you for different kinds of work. So Sridevi got in touch with me.
I'm sorry, before you continue with Sridevi again, are you generally a logical person? Do you consider yourself a logical person?
I like to believe I'm a logical person, yes.
Okay, sure. Let's go ahead.
Why do you ask?
So far, you know, the first time that we spoke in Delhi last year and, you know, today also, I just got a feeling from the answers and the way you approach your answers that you're probably, you know, 1+1=2 and that's how it works out, right? So I just got a hunch that probably this person likes to be a little more logical. So forgive me for that. Let's continue with Sridevi.
No. I like to kind of have some explanation for, you know, why certain things are happening the way they are.
Because in November,
it's comforting to know
that thing. In November also, when you explained to me about, you know, the style, it just made so much sense to me. Because, you know, uske pehle I've asked a few others also, you know, I never really got an answer that would really satisfy or not satisfy, but really explain to me something or that particular thing in detail, and you actually gave me a very easy to understand answer, and that's probably why I just probably picked up on that. But that's it.
Anyway, so she came to me with the story called Mangoes and Mischief. It's this super cute story. Okay, it's about these two kids, and it's in the summer, and they have to just deal with a monster who loves mangoes and who just has to be fed mangoes in every possible form. So be it the fruit, be it pickles, be it everything. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those cute summer stories. And I'm like, this is going to be very entertaining. I'd love to do this. Right. It actually looks like this. If you can. So that was initially published on the Storyweaver platform. So that just happened. Okay. So after all of this, I just got back to my graduation project, graduated, ho gaya sab, and this was, I think, 2015 December. Oh, so actually a year before that or something, the company that I worked with after graduating, they were an early startup, and they were based in Ahmedabad because they were doing some work and they were looking for some illustrators to work on a few game assets with them. Actually, Lavanya had worked with them. She did their introduction video, and Venki, I'm sure you've heard of Venki, Venkatram Vishwanathan. He's in Paris right now. Amazing animator. He also had worked with them before. So by the time I had graduated, they had set up office in Bangalore, and Arpita called me and she said, hey, we are just building our startup and we are looking for some artists. And would you or any other people, would you like to apply, you know, to be considered for a role? So I said, okay, sure. I applied and I got the job. So Jan 2016 is when I started working in Bangalore. It was called Mechmocha Game Studios. So I worked there for about 2.5 years. So over here, it was primarily like visual design work, but also it was a small team. We were a team of 12, 13 people. So at this point, I was doing anything and everything, you know. So I did some character animation on Unity. I did some concept art, like, you know, assets and stuff. Then we were doing a bunch of UX. We were revamping the UX for another project, and we were doing UI. We were doing marketing collaterals. I was illustrating for stickers. So it was like all kinds of work.
Is this anyway, also how you got into gaming by any chance? Because I'll go into gaming first of all. I guess you are.
Yeah.
Yesterday, when I started Red Dead Redemption 2, and you said like this game will change your life, I was like, pakka, this girl is a gamer. Otherwise, you know, nobody talks about games like that. And you know, I for a detour, but you know, I did start playing RDR 2. Today, and I woke up at 6 o'clock, okay, because last night I did not get enough time because I had a lot of office work. I woke up at 6 o'clock today just to play RDR2, and I, you know, finished a couple of missions, and then I started my day. So, basi subah utke without brushing and everything, I'm playing RDR2. And dude, it's actually so good, right? That game is
amazing.
It is so detailed and it makes so much sense. Like, you know, something as small as you cannot carry too many weapons with you. Like other games, you know, I have been playing games for a long time. You carry like a truckload of weapons with you.
People do unreal things. Yeah.
Exactly. And in this one, you cannot carry more than two weapons, which makes so much sense. And your weapons are all kept in that horse. So you have to go and pick it up from there.
Yeah,
and you know, the horse has a life as well. And you have to bond with that horse. Like, I mean, what the heck? Like, how big is this game?
You know what I realized? Like, the story actually changes depending on how much you bond with your horse, which I found out the very hard way. So towards the end, my poor horse ended up getting killed. And then I asked a couple of other people. They were like, no, our horses are fine. It just went on to the next character. It was handed off to John at the end. So this was one of this beautiful horse where, you know, we robbed a train or something. Uh-huh. And then we were like, chalo, bahut paise aa gaye. And then we go to town and then we buy this really beautiful Arabian horse and we groomed it, got fancy saddle. We just loved and nurtured it until the end of the game, only for it to die. Oh my God, I was heartbroken.
No, so I have just started playing, right? So I'm still in that early phase where, you know, it's full of snow and, you know, the whole environment is so different and everything. It's beautiful, right? But I know about the bonding and everything because today I could not help myself. So I went on YouTube. I searched for like a couple of videos and I was watching like, you know, videos to understand this game even better. And that's when I realized that, you know, you have to create a bond with your horse and, you know, there's a whole, you know, based on the choices that you make throughout the game, you either, you know, choose the right way or the wrong way and basis that you get like have some consequences and everything, which I
You can be an honorable outlaw, or you can just be evil. This game has so much depth. So I got into gaming because I started working at MechMocha, and like one of the first proper AAA games that I played was Uncharted 4. Uncharted 4 is also so beautiful.
Absolutely.
So before that, I played a bit of Portal and stuff, and then Uncharted 4 happened. And by the time I left, I had a little bit of money. So I bought a PS4.
Nice.
And then after that, you know, I played a couple of... I still have a bunch of games on my list that I have to get back to. Like Last of Us 2, I have to finish. Death Stranding, I have to finish. And I'm waiting for God of War and everything to get cheap, the new one. I have both the God of War.
So I'll tell you what. So, you know, it may be I know this is nothing related to art right now.
Oh, no, it's fine.
But
it's
I think you should, like, you know, if you want, I have been using it for a while. So in my PS4, I have that PS Plus subscription, right? I don't know how much I pay.
Yeah.
It's around 3,000-4,000 per year. And I feel, you know, that's a great...
I got a bunch of games through the PS Plus subscription only. I just haven't done it recently.
I have very limited time to game because, you know, I have a lot of things going. So that's why I have to wake up at 6 a.m. to play RDR 2. Because meko paanch minute I just quickly go and play a game of FIFA. So that's like my, you know, go-to.
Okay.
And like quickly khatam ho jata hai one match. It's like... I just go get that dopamine hit and I come out and start working again. So yeah, that's my, but when you were working at this firm, did you work on any game that maybe I or the audience would have heard of?
I mean, I think it's not on the Play Store anymore. We were just working on mobile games. Mm-hmm. It's not on the Play Store anymore. So we did a new version of Jetpack Joyride for the Indian audiences. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it did very well because... Okay. I mean, it was also a bit of an experiment in terms of the mechanics and the structure of it. So I think they wanted to make it like a level-based progression system and introduce the narrative and everything. Whereas, you know, in hindsight, I can say this, like the pull of the original Jetpack is the fact that it's a very enjoyable, mindless, endless game. And, you know, without the jazz of, okay, is there a narrative? So that was something that we tried, but I don't think it really worked out that well. But yeah, so I was there for a little while. And got into gaming, and I actually would love to work in a gaming studio again. You know, it's just so much fun stuff happening.
Right.
Anyway, so it was around this time that Sridevi, the lady I worked with for Mangoes and Mischief, she randomly tagged me on this post on Facebook, where it was about a residency at Shantiniketan. You know, so there was this post. The residency was organized by Zuban Books and the Goethe Institute, Max Müller Bhavan, in Kolkata. And it was, the objective of the residency was they wanted to bring together about 8 or 10 writers and 8 or 10 illustrators together in Shantiniketan for about 2 weeks. And they would be mentored by 4 people. There were 2 illustrators from Germany and there were 2 writers from India. So the objective was, you know, everybody just meet, you discuss your work, and then you conceptualize some new ideas and actually tackle some more complex themes in children's literature. This was also a misconception of mine. I thought, you know, back then I was thinking that, you know, kid lit is all about fairy tales and happy stories and everything. And this actually opened my eyes that there is so much more happening. And I'm so glad it did, because these 2 weeks completely changed my life. And so we were at Shantiniketan for about 2 weeks and
met a whole bunch of... Which was it, the winter
December.
Month? So perfect time.
December in Shantiniketan, and we stayed at this lovely place called Mitali Homestays. If you ever go to Shantiniketan, just go, because Shukarnadi is the best cook ever. Anyway,
Mitali Homestay, sure, done. And people listening in Bengal, if you are going, so you know where to stay. Take it. Shout out to Mitali Di. Shukarnadi. Right, let's continue.
Anyway, so over here, I finally met people. So one of my seniors also happened to be at the workshop with me, Shreya Sen. If you must have seen her work.
I must have, so, probably.
Yeah, she goes by Sagoli on Instagram, Shreya Sen.
Okay.
So so Shreya was there, and this is where I finally met Andrew C.G. Salamander, with whom I've done almost all of my work since then. Then Bijal and Charles and Meenu, Neha Singh, all of these people I just met at Shantiniketan. And
I know
realized
a bunch of
that,
people. I know a bunch of these names. Of people. Because again, Bangalore, a lot of them are in Bangalore.
Exactly. Almost every
Salamander is not there. Salamander is in Chennai.
Salamander's moved to the Netherlands now. He's moved to the Netherlands now. And so, yeah, all of these people I met, and they are, in my opinion, you know, like I said, they are like the backbone of Kidlit as far as I know it. You know, for me, they kind of opened my eyes to this wonderful, wonderful world. And I'm so glad I met them. I'm so glad I got the chance to work with them also. And because they also really helped me realize the complexities involved in children's narratives, you know, and that you can talk about all kinds of stuff. You know, it's and it's just very challenging, and it's also eye-opening, and they're also very important conversations to have. You know, and become a part of, you know, everyday reading. So, so that was actually it at Shantiniketan. And after this is when I started working on a couple of books with Andrew primarily. So since then, we have worked on Arun and Ruins. Then we worked on a book called City of Rubble. Then right now we're working on a couple of, you know, project right now. Then we did the Mahatma Gandhi's 150th birthday anniversary celebration comic, which was published by The Mint. So that was also written by Andrew. So then I did a bunch.
He writes a lot. He writes well also. That's like a good thing.
He writes well. He writes a lot. And on any day, if you call him, he will say, yeah, so I have about 5 or 6 stories written and ready to be published. I'm just waiting for a publisher to say, hey, so we need a story which is for a middle grade reader, is probably like this. And he'll be like, hang on, give me, I'll just send it to you.
I have to work with this guy.
So, and also the things I realized, I really hit it off with Andrew, because you know, we really, we both of us actually watched a lot of anime, and we enjoyed, you know, certain psychological horror stories. At the same time, we were working in Kidlit and we were open to doing the adventure kinds. So it was a little nutty, and right. It just worked. And the thing about Andrew also is that he's one of those writers, if you're collaborating with him right from the beginning, you know, if you're still developing a story, he's extremely open and receptive to ideas. So towards the end of it, it becomes a product of both writer and illustrator, and you don't right. feel like, you know, I have just been handed a script by right. a writer
right.
and with some notes and illustration briefs, and now the illustrator is like, oh, okay, now I just have to do what I've been you know, what's been given to me over here. Mm-hmm. So with Andrew, there's always that very interesting back and forth. And a lot of times what happens with him is he'll send me a script and he'll give me certain notes. He's like, hey, so this is what I visualized. We can do something like this. Maybe we'll have two panels here, cut to a, you know, full spread, and then do something else. And then I can be like, hey, what if we just change it up? What if we make everything into one continuous sequence of events on a page without panels and make it look like a game? Or what if we merge panels? Or what if we just change the narrative? What if we change the edit and have an event that's happening later, but put it before? And he's open to all of this. So it becomes a really, like, really interesting and very insightful. Insightful sort of collaboration with Andrew. So that I'm so glad that, you know, I've actually had the chance to work with him.
Right.
So Shantiniketan, basically, this is what happened. I met all of these people. And since then, they have opened up doors in children's literature for me to so that was in 2016, and after that, until 2018 I worked at Bekmuka, and then I quit, and then I moved back home, and since then it's just been introverted freelancer life, which I don't know if you know how that is, but it's been that since 2018. So it's just been, you know, doing a couple of books, hanging out once in a while, something like Bookaroo happens. That actually is very life-changing also. But so
and
now
the people you worked with also, my God, like that's what I mentioned in the introduction as well, right? Like the people I think that's what it's been for you. Like, Saithya, like, you know, the people you've been, and I'm sure people have cracked this joke about your name and you being in the Kidlit world. I'm pretty sure that has been done before, so I'm not gonna go and do that.
It's okay, but you can crack it
a thing. No, that's okay. But so I think that's been good for you. Like, you know, I have seen, so I think, you know, the stories that you have gotten so far that you have illustrated, and again, like, as one illustrator to another illustrator, I feel the stories that you have gotten so far to illustrate and your style, I think it's just been such a great match. Like, whenever I've seen, you know, pretty much most of your books, right? And I do love your style. So you know, I know you, and for the audience as well, you know, she sent me her portfolio. She emailed me her portfolio before the whole thing, saying, oh, this is my portfolio. As if I've never seen her work before. She doesn't know I've been stalking her for a while from the work-wise. But dude, like your illustration style is brilliant, you know. I think your understanding, and, you know, this is something which I have not really seen in the Kidlit scene a lot, which is, you know, when you draw let's say characters, right, let's say human characters in this case, your sense of your sense of that form, and, you know, the whole poses, posture, all of those things, it's just so good. Like, you know, you don't just freeball it in a way, you know, where, okay, you know, let's make the torso large or something. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do, it's a great thing to do, because, you know, if it works out for you. But your style, I have seen, is very realistic in terms of the the proportions, maybe. I have seen that quite a bit, which I think works for your style quite a bit, and also the colors that you choose. Of course, you know, when it comes to colors, I'm so happy that, you know, you gave me those art prints, and I think they're from Yamini and the 7 PM Ghost, right? And that's,
yeah, I think they're from Yamini and Letters to Krisha, and I think one or two others also. Yeah,
no, but I personally cherish the Yamini one the most because of the colors.
So
because of the colors, dude. Like, your color palette in that one was epic. I
love
the
color
palette. Like, I don't know if you remember, but do you remember how did you come up with that color palette? Because it's very interesting. Like, you know, the kind of tones you have mixed around with, it's just very interesting.
It was also a bit of an accident, which is true for a lot of my books. Okay. So, and like with proportions and stuff, I've realized that I like to find the balance between realism and stylistic stuff. Like I actually find myself unable to exaggerate and completely stylize. I find that very, very difficult. And it's probably because as a child, I did very hyper-realistic sort of drawings, you know, like portraits and stuff like that. So I like to draw from that. And it's just become something I do all the time. And but when it comes to colors, I think I generally do prefer slightly earthier sort of tones, which and then certain poppy colors here and there. But with Yamini, we had a few references in place saying that, hey, think of it as like, look back to your childhood, probably the kind of clothes that you were wearing. Basically, you know, parents would go and they would just pick a bunch of clothes which would be a little too big, and then you would grow into them. So you'd be wearing that for a couple of years, and it would be something that you would wear around the day, and you would also be able to cycle in or play in. And if it got dirty, it was okay. And it also had to be young, like think about the clothes that you wore when you were in the fifth and sixth grade. So so when it came to the characters and their clothing and their environment, the inspiration was there. But what was really exciting was when I started drawing the ghosts. So initially, when we were drawing the ghosts, Andrew was like, hey, it has to look very unclear. You know, nobody should be able to tell exactly what it is that we're looking at. So you play around and do what is, and the whole thing is that it's set at night. You know, the ghosts only come out at night, so just play around with it. And what happened there was that I was just messing on Photoshop with a couple of layer styles and blending modes. Yeah, I was just messing around with a few blend modes, and at some point I said, hey, I need to have some definition, let's use a blue and pink. And then I put a color dodge and I was like, this looks like lots of fun. You know, this looks like fun, and then let's add some noise, and it just ended up looking great. So I stumbled upon, and that became the visual language for like a very important set of characters in the book.
Right. You know?
And because that actually worked for the ghosts, it translated to a few of the backgrounds that you see later in the book as well.
Yes.
You know, where you have multiple colors just interplaying, and you just have some line art to show a few. So it was a happy accident that started off with the villains of the book and then just translated to everything else, you know. So that was actually Yamini. It was a very
full
fun
Bob Ross, full Bob Ross, happy accident.
Yeah, I'm so glad it actually had worked out that way, because also like with Yamini, initially I was working with this nonprofit based in Bangalore. They were doing a series of books on active citizenship. So Janagra Center for Citizenship and Democracy. So they said, hey, we're doing a bunch of children's books and we want this book to be about active citizenship. And they got in touch with Andrew and me, and this wonderful lady that we worked with, who was the editor of sorts for us, she gave Andrew the full freedom. She said, listen, you have this story, this is your budget, we don't really care what the story is like, just trip out. So what was supposed to be a PSA kind of book ended up becoming this adventure ghost story for, you know, 10-12 year olds. And the freedom that we had with that book, I mean, was amazing. So I think it shows,
and I really hope there's a sequel to this book. You know, this book I'll tell you what, I haven't read the book, like I don't have it. I'm just referring to, you know, the illustrations that I've seen online of this book. So I don't know the content at all, right? I just know the content, like the title is Yamini and the 7 p.m. Ghosts, right? But I really hope this has a sequel, because I would like to see what you do with the next time you get the same visual language again. That would be very interesting to see if you had to, you know, recreate the ghosts, but maybe, you know, start another, you know, a family of characters which are in a similar style, but, you know, you're going ahead with that. Let's say like Rajiv and Andrew have been doing with Maithili, for that matter, right? So I would
phenomenal.
It's great that book is like a different a league altogether. So yeah, that's for sure. But okay, so that really gives me a sense. And I think since 2018 is when how many books have you done as of now?
Quite a few, huh? I'll have to I mean, like if I include like all textbooks and a couple of book covers here and there, like maybe 15-20-ish.
Wow, that's really good. That's really good.
but this is including like all kinds of published work. It could be a comic, this and that. So maybe like 15, 20-ish. Yeah. And also what's interesting about Yamini as a story is that while it on the surface, it's like an adventure, Nancy Drew-esque kind of story. Mm. But it's also very nuanced in the sense that it talks about, you know, childhood friendship dynamics and, you know, the kind of stuff that you did. There are fights and how do these 12-year-olds resolve it among themselves. And what's interesting is Andrew seems to write very unlikable protagonists also.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like Yamini starts off as a character, you're like, why is she so bossy? She's so irritating. Right. Why is she behaving this way? But then it has a really beautiful arc where she is, you know, confronted by her friends. And these are things that kids do.
Right.
So that was actually another very interesting aspect about the book, which I actually loved going back to and trying to find the right hooks to illustrate. So yeah, that was yummy.
So I want to ask you two technical questions, okay, before I move to the next segment. So, two technical questions. So one is, how would you define your style? Like, according to you, what is your style like?
You know, I honestly don't know myself. I was actually just going to ask you earlier if you thought that you saw something very distinctive and characteristic about my style. You know, when I look at it, I feel like, hey, I think there is a certain way that I draw children.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I find it very hard myself to say, I do exactly this all the time or I do this all the time. Because honestly, when I think about it, I would like to be the kind of person who is versatile and is able to actually tackle multiple styles because I enjoy doing realistic stuff. I also enjoy doing simple cartoony stuff. I actually struggle with abstraction and simplification a lot, you know. So I tend to add a lot of detail. I tend to be that person who likes to just get a little meditative with the process of drawing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There will be like multiple things, little patterns and stuff to color, and I just like to get into it. So I'm that sort of person, you know.
I can see that. Like, you know, while you were saying this, I was looking at this book of yours, Letters to Krisha, right? And by Karate Tales, right? And I see this one illustration where I think there's this kid who is giving an envelope to a teacher, what it looks like. The kid is wearing a school
bag.
And I see that, you know, you have actually, and of course, you know, sorry, the audience, the listeners, you can't see it, but, you know, just imagine a scene where a little kid, so there's a teacher sitting at the teacher's desk in a classroom, and, you know, she is actually correcting a lot of answer sheets. So you can see there are a bunch of papers in front of her, a red pen in her hand, and there's this kid standing next to her who's giving her an envelope. So that's the scene behind, you know, that you have the blackboard, right? And you know, I love Sahitya, and this piece especially is the background, the blackboard has got stuff written on it. So you've written how to write a letter, your greeting here, and you've actually like gone ahead and written the whole thing, that too in the color of the chalks that, you know, we would have back in school. Then the second thing also is that the teacher is correcting these answer sheets, which is on the table. And I'm not zooming in right now, but I know for a fact you've actually written something on that and actually ticked it with a red pen as well, which is brilliant. I love this level of detail. I know it take a lot of time. You know, another one, you know, Arul in Ruins. I was looking at that yesterday when I was, you know, going through your portfolio. And so Arun in Ruins, there's this one scene where I think this kid is sitting and, you know, looking at a flower or something, I'm not sure. You know, it's a full spread sort of a thing where, you know, I think I can see a lot of rock formations and everything. And I do see the number of rocks. So you clearly can't do abstraction, that's for sure. You have gone ahead and actually drawn all the faces of the rocks with the 3D, you know, the shading and everything, with the light reflecting as well, which is crazy. Like, you know, as a viewer, I love this because there's so much to look at and, you know, absorb. Yeah. But as an illustrator, I don't know.
As an illustrator, I'm telling you, the dream project would be a publisher and a writer saying, hey, so we have a 32-page picture book and you have 3 years to finish this. And we're going to give you a lot of money just to do this. Okay. So if somebody hands me a project like that, I'll be like, hi, yeah, this is what I want, where I can spend like 2 months just doing one little project. But that's the thing about
So, but tell me this. So, you know, so that way, first of all, if you're taking 3 years for, you know, one 32 page, I don't think like, you know, you will ever, I think you'll take a lifetime to complete a graphic novel. Like, you know, you'll do graphic novel, and by the time you're 60, that gets published and you're like,
yeah, and it'll be the one and only thing, you know, written and illustrated by Sahitya Rani, or bas khatam karo uske baad.
That's it. No, but tell me this. So 3 years on a 32, so that sounds interesting. And of course, you know, anybody and everybody would be like, oh, wow, 32 pages and, you know, 3 years, and you give me all the money I want. That's like the dream, of course, right? And one of the episodes, I was talking to another lady who's also from your college in this case, and she told me that, you know, she initially was being she also did a lot of picture books, right, and with a lot of publishers as well, and her initial thing was, or selling point was, that, you know, she could her turnaround time was really short, as in she could complete projects like really quick, and people would come to her in most cases where, you know, and you and I both know, you know, there are these situations where, you know, the illustrator backed out last moment and now they're looking for
and
suddenly you just have to go, and, you know, you have to be the knight in shining armor and actually finish off the book within the deadline, right? And she said I was being chosen, I know, because I was that person who could go and do stuff like right away, right? Tell me this, if you ever get 3 years to, you know, do a 32-page book, won't you get bored, or, I don't know, won't you run out of fuel after a point of time? Because I feel I would.
I mean, see, I would also be the sort of person who would probably push it until the last minute, and, you know, I would have 3 years, but also just do it in the last one and a half. But I think over the last few years, I've realized that I like having a break between different stages of working on a project. You know, so initially I'll read the script and then I'll let it stew in my brain for a little while, and then I'll do some thumbnails. Then I'd like to forget about it for a couple of weeks, you know, and then come back and then be like, oh, okay, now let's look at it. Because every time I've done that, I found myself coming up with better, you know, ideas with every sort of iteration, like you said. So, and hopefully I'd be able to manage my time better. So in the 3 years, I might do a couple of other small things, and small this things. Would be the one big project that's happening in the background. But like, I don't like being that rushed, basically, because I feel like I want to enjoy the process a lot more. I just want to just get in the zone with the little details, because I believe that these little details add a lot to the story.
Yeah, and probably like that's what your style is. You asked me.
Yeah, that's probably what my style is. Yeah. You know, like with Arun in Ruins, if you actually read the book, the Arun has a little pet, no, the pet skink, the little lizard like creature, which is Arun's best friend. Yeah. He's wearing a red scarf. He's a cute little reptile. So, you know, there's a parallel story happening of him.
Oh, nice.
So if you actually read the book,
like,
he's doing his own little thing. And you know, his uska alag story chal raha piche. And with Letters to Krisha also, this was again one of those books where I had not met or spoken to, I still haven't met the writer. I hadn't spoken to the writer until the book was published. So this was, I was just sending cold emails to any and every publisher with my portfolio from then. And after a year of writing to Karadi, they got back and they said, hey, we have this book. Would you like to do it? I said, yeah, I'd love to. And they sent this. And obviously I had no idea who the writer was. I just had a script and I was only speaking to the editor and the art director, you know? And like, I had no idea what the author envisioned also. I did not know what she had in her mind when she wrote the book, and you know, did she want the characters to look a certain way? Were there certain details that she wanted? So visually, all the details that I've added, they're all from are mine, you know, like the charts in the primary school background which talk about landforms and water forms, and there are fractions on the board, and there is a class timetable. All of that is stuff that I just wanted to add, because I was like, nahi, third standard hai, primary classroom to aise hi hota hai. You know, hamara classroom to aise hota tha. At least we tried.
That's brilliant.
So I actually love doing all of that. I love just adding extra stuff, which is which a lot of times also bitten me in the backside because it wasn't asked for, and it's actually, it's way beyond what was budgeted for, and it's way beyond the requirement. Mm-hmm. So hence the whole, you know, I kind of wish I had that kind of time and,
right,
you know, resources to just spend on this magnum opus of some sort.
makes sense. And, you know, to answer your earlier question, which was, you know, how I look at your style, I see your style, like, I think we already mentioned that, you know, the proportions for your human figures, right? I think in most cases are, like you said, are very close to realistic, you know, proportions. So that is one thing for me. Like, you know, I don't probably see a lot of illustrators who do children's book who go for that level of, you know, the correct proportions that way. And your that's why I think yours stand out a little more. So that's one. Second, I do see, you know, the, of course, we spoke about the details as well, but I do see a certain, I don't know, a character of the line, like, you know, your line work. I do see, did you start off by using a lot of brush pen by any chance, like in traditional work, non-digital?
Yeah, but also I'm a very sketchy draftsman. I don't, mm-hmm, like, even when I'm doing pencil work and stuff, I don't do very clean line
fine
art.
Lines,
and yeah, and that is something that reflects in my digital art as well. Like I don't, none of my line art is very, very clean.
Very clean.
So it has that sketchy, thick, thin, slightly.
Exactly. And I like that. That, you know, I personally, I also like that a lot. Your work has a lot of texture, which I, again, dig a lot personally. I love
so much.
So your color palette is, again, something which I know, you know, it kind of stands out, even though, like we mentioned, Yamini and the 7 PM Ghost, so, you know, the color palette was different, but it's still, in a way, at least when I look at the kids' clothes, let's say, or the skin tone and stuff, you know, that part really is, again, a lot like you. So, you know, your color palette that you use. So I think that for me is what your style is. And that's why, you know, in November, when we met, I did not know you. I did not recognize you, because I had never seen you before, right? But the moment you gave me your that art print, I was like, dude, I know this person. I have seen this. Like, that's how quickly your style spoke to me, right? So that's there. And, you know, while talking to you, I was going through some illustrations again. And just for the audience, you know, I'd like to paint a picture for you guys. So, you know, I'm referring to the book by Karadi Tales called Letters to Krisha, you know, the same book I told you guys about a few minutes ago. So there's another page in this which I'm looking at, where I think it's like a picnic sort of a scene. There are four kids, you know, under a tree trunk who are playing and, you know, just having fun. And two girls and two boys, and, you know, they have some cookies and everything in front of them, a bottle of water and everything. And one of these kids, out of these four, he has fallen asleep. So you imagine, you know, a kid is lying on the grass with a huge football on his stomach, maybe, and he's sleeping while holding the football. His mouth is open because he's sleeping. And what this lady, Sahitya, she's done is, I just noticed that she's actually drawn a mustache on this kid. you know, and clearly it and that tells you a story. There is no text in this illustration that I'm looking at. So, you know, I don't know the context, but I clearly know that, you know, these kids are mischievous, and, you know, one of the friends fell asleep. So they took a pen and probably drew a mustache over there. And that's the kind of detail that you put in, right? Like, and that gives me another story, another arc to think about, and, you know, probably spend a little more time on that page. Like, I love what you do. I love your illustrations. Even, you know, the Speaking Tiger, like, wow, you worked with Speaking Tiger, right? The Magic Couch in that one.
Oh yeah, the Magic Couch. That was a very recent.
I think 2022. Yes. Yeah, last year. Correct. But again, like that one page where they're looking at, you know, in the forest, I can see a few bisons probably in the background, and, you know, they're looking at a leopard, if I'm not wrong, and, you know,
there's a leopard on this side. Yeah.
On the left side, correct. And, you know, again, the way you have drawn the foliage, if I were at your place, I would have probably, you know those digital brushes which are foliage brushes, right? So I would have probably used that to create a texture, right? That's what I would have done. But you have actually gone and drawn out each and every leaf, which is
I might have a problem also, because I just went in with
No, seriously, this is a lot of work that you have put in. You know, in that same magic couch, there's another one. You know, I see this probably a grandfather and the grandson reading a book, and you know, they're sitting on a sofa, which looks like a very something which I would see in a very South Indian family, because there's this particular sofa which I have not seen in any other part of the country. I've stayed in a bunch of places. It's a very, very, you know, that sort of a, you find it in a lot of these old Tamil families generally have that. I don't know, I'm not stereotyping, but this is honestly
No,
something.
no.
In Bangalore, and for Bangalore people, you know, if you go to somebody's house, let's say in Jayanagar, and you know, old parts of Bangalore, you know, a very old family, like, you know, a legit family who's been there for generations, in their house you'll find this sofa.
You'll
So you
find that the
know,
one with the wicker work, and it'll probably be an old shisham or a rosewood sort of chair with
absolutely, and
the
that's
wicker, and then
exactly
you
what you
have
thought.
the
And you've drawn that, and with that you've added, you know, a lot of patterns on the textile that they are on as well. So, dude, like, brilliant work. So, what do you? So, okay, the second technical question which I wanted to ask you, what tools do you use? Are you into Photoshop or Procreate, or what do you use?
I've been using Photoshop only. Like I actually tried a bunch of other stuff like Clip Studio and everything, but I've realized I just didn't
That
spend
works for
enough
you.
time, didn't pick it up. Yeah, so
Got
I've
it.
just stuck to Photoshop and the Chotu Vacom for years now. So that's my digital media thing. But yeah, traditionally off late, I'm been, you know, once in a while when I actually have the money to indulge in art supplies, I just go buy something and I try them out. But most like letters to Krisha and stuff was all done in watercolors
Right.
with and like photo inks and stuff. So traditionally I like to experiment, but digital work is all it's all on Photoshop.
Yeah, I do see, like, in Letters to Krisha, even the background of the cover, I do realize that, you know, the background, the sky and the gradients, they are very watercolory. So it makes sense that you probably did it in watercolor, and then you probably touched it up on this thing as well, on Photoshop as well. Yeah.
And you know what was also interesting is that when I started working on Letters to Krisha, Kara Details, they actually insist on doing, you know, hand-drawn stuff as opposed to digital work. So I so with this book is when this was actually the first book I've ever done where I've done some traditional work, you know, because
Right.
until then all of my actual projects were just done digitally because it was faster, it was
Right.
easier, you know, I didn't have to do the scanning and everything. But with this, I actually had to figure out a pipeline where, you know, I break it up and just do a background washes on one sheet and characters on another, and then
Take me
put
through the
everything
process,
together.
take me through the process, the pipeline that you mentioned, because even I have always wondered, how does it really work out technically? So can you just quickly take me through that?
So with this, actually, what I did was initially I thought I will go the full traditional route where I actually draw the line art for everything, for every page, and paint all my light and shadows and ink all on that one thing. So you have a complete character. I tried that initially, but it didn't really work out because it didn't give me the freedom to scale or add some texture or make some
Right.
fixes. So then I
Right.
completely changed my process where I actually just drew. I just did pencils and inks of all the characters and all the details, you know,
Okay.
just inked them, then I scanned them. Then I had
Okay.
a whole bunch of other sheets where I had painted washes with photo inks and watercolors. So
Okay.
there was one sheet where there were around six or seven swatches of skin tones, you know, so there was one going from lighter to dark. So then I just scanned that and then repeated that on Photoshop and used that as a texture for all the skin tones. You
Wow.
know,
So wait,
the same
so when you say use that as a texture, did you you know, let's say took that as a new layer and put it up probably in opacity or something like that, and not opacity, what do you call that? Overlay, probably overlay or something like that. And did you then paint under it as well on Photoshop, or you just like touched up the
No, no, no,
colors?
because I wanted, I just touched up the colors because I wanted the paper texture
Ah,
also to
got
come
it.
through, you know.
Got it.
So the line art was on top, you know, as a layer on multiply, and below you have multiple layers which have been masked around, you know, where it is supposed to fit,
Marking makes
you know.
sense.
Yeah,
Makes
so
sense.
basically I just had a bunch of sheets where I just had washes of blue for all the uniforms, then some few different shades of white, a few different
That's
shades of
very
green,
interesting.
you know, and couple of varieties of bushes which can be used,
Used,
and
right.
then scan them all, and then do a lot of tweaking and editing on Photoshop to, you know, finally bring
Brilliant.
it together.
Brilliant.
So it was
I don't
just
know if
a
I would have.
stack of washes.
I don't know if I would have been able to, you know, probably take on that. It's just it's a lot of work. It's clearly a lot of work. Plus, I'm
So
not
much
great
fun,
with
so much fun.
watercolor. But yeah, it seems like, dude, like there's a lot of things that you've done, and now that you say it makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, the because it definitely looks very different from all your other work apart from the character design. Now, apart from that, I think everything else, the look and feel of it looks very, very different, which is brilliant. Perfect. Perfect. So cool. You know, I think that's something which I really want to know about your work right there. Next up, we have, as we go towards, you know, the closure of this conversation, this is something which I started very recently in one of the episodes. And so I'll tell you what, so I found this set of questions, okay, these very interesting questions. And, you know, I'm randomly selecting. So right now, even I don't know what I'll ask you. So I'm going to randomly select three questions. One question is going to be a very reflective question. The second is going to be like, you know, a more like a fun sort of a question. And the third is going to be a deep question. Okay. So that's the next segment that I'm going for. So are you ready for that?
I hope so.
Yeah. There's no other option anyway.
Yeah. I can't say. Yeah. I just have to do it.
Cool. Okay. So let me go for the first question. All right. So what is something you do differently than most people?
What is something I do differently than most people? Wow, this is a tough one. I don't know. Okay, from an illustrator and artist point of view, I don't know if this is something a lot of illustrators do, but I actually just... I like to think of the picture book also as like a film and how it would play out. And then I like to plan my frames accordingly because I like to see if I can make it more interactive and play around with, say, if the page turns, how is that going to affect the next thing, you know, with like, so I try to think of it like that. I'm sure a lot of people do it, but I don't know the insights of their process, but I'm hoping it's something different.
Cool. That too definitely works out. I mean, yeah, that makes sense as well. You know, I don't know if you've seen this book. I don't remember names, of course. Probably after the recording, I'll send you the link. There's this book which is, it's quite the old book, but you know, the whole book format, it's like a rectangle. So if you close it, it's like a rectangle. Mm-hmm. It's not like a 1:1 ratio when you look at it, like, you know, when it's closed. And the book is slanted. So the whole
I remember.
Did you see that? Right, you've seen that, right? So the whole book.
I think it's from the 1920s. I think it's called the slant book. It's called the slant book. It's called the slant book, and I think it's from 1910, 1920 or something.
Oh yeah, it's called the slant book. Correct, slant book. It is there. And for people, you know, now that you know the name, you can just search it. Right, if you're listening to this episode, just search it on Google. The slant book. It's by Peter Newell, right? So Peter Newell, N-E-W-E-L-L. And this book is very interesting, all right? So, and I think what you just said, you know, this book kind of does it for me, which is the whole book is slanted. And when you open, you know, it's like, you know, everybody is kind of going in one direction because of the slant and gravity working. People are just rolling that side, right? So for me, that works out quite well. So when you said that, it kind of took me back over there. Okay, second question that I have for you. Let's find something. Okay. Your favorite topic of conversation?
Favorite topic of conversation? Actually, I'd say like movies and TV shows. I love discussing the heck out of stories. And like after if it's a game or a movie or something that we've seen and just have this long drawn out discussion where you just break it down and everybody comes in with their opinions. I actually love doing that. I mean, that could be with anything. It could be with like art that we've seen. It could be with movies. It could be with games. Yeah, but I just really like those debate sort of things where everyone has their own
That makes sense. And, you know, to bring in. You may very like it. On YouTube, there are these channels. I think one of them would be Screen Rant, if I'm not wrong. There are a couple of these channels which do these, you know, breakdowns of different shows.
Oh,
of
and
stuff.
I love them. Every Frame a Painting. Like Every Frame a Painting. Lessons
Nerd Writer is good. Nerd Writer is good.
All of these. I love it.
So what are you watching currently?
I actually just started Trial by Fire. I've seen the first two episodes and Last of Us.
Okay. Is there a genre that you are generally into?
No, I'm open to all kinds of stuff, but I do enjoy like good sci-fi. I do like psychological horror. I'm not a fan of gore, but I do like some good psychological horror. I like sci-fi. I like drama. I'm open to all kinds of
All right. That kind of also reminds me. So I have been on and off watching this thing on Amazon Prime. I think it's on Amazon. The Boys got very famous, and you know, I found it very interesting. Somebody suggested that to me last year. I started watching it again. I don't get enough time to, you know, really binge watch something, so I kind of, you know, slowly installments may I watch it. So after watching, I think I'm on the second season right now, and you know, I did a little bit of reading on one of the primary characters, this guy Chef, what's his name,
Homelander.
Correct. Yeah, exactly Homelander. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, so Homelander. And you know, I was watching it, and I do have a liking for psychology, and I was watching, and I'm like, dude, this character is created so well in terms of, you know, all the disorders that he has. And I'm using the word disorder very consciously, you know, in terms of psychology, the disorders that he has. Like, and I was like, dude, I want to know the writers, what were they thinking? So, you know, I've been reading up on the psychology of Homelander in this series, which I find is brilliant. All right. So coming to the third question and the last question in this segment, all right. So the last one is going to be a little deep. Let me search for something. So this shouldn't be too difficult for you, I think. Yeah. So what are you grateful for?
So many things. Actually, I'm actually grateful for all the things that unexpectedly just came my way without me ever thinking it would work out. You know, dad's family, friends coming and saying, yaar, apply kar lo, ho jayega tumhara, you know, or mom and dad being like, you know what, it's fine, you want to do animation, kar lo, it'll be fine. Acha, you want to quit and you want to do children's literature, you want to work on it, it's fine, come home, you can stay, you can figure out your freelance life. You know, so all of these little things which add up, because otherwise none of this would have happened.
True.
So yeah, so I guess it's all the things, actually.
All the small things which kind of came together. Perfect. Thank you.
Small, which become very significant.
Will become significant, of course. They become really huge, right? And they probably open up doors to something even larger in future. So that's how I look at it as well. Cool. Chal, theek hai. So, you know, I want to ask you another thing. This is something which I do ask a bunch of people who come over to this podcast. Who are your inspirations? Like, you know, are there any artists or illustrators or anybody, movie directors or whatever, that you would suggest me or the audience to go and check out, and you probably find them as inspirations?
Guillermo del Toro. He directed Pinocchio recently. Then he made the original. Then he did Pacific Rim and stuff also. But you must check out his sketchbooks. I think he's one of the most brilliant directors of our time. And of course, his storytelling, like with Pan's Labyrinth and Pinocchio. So his work is something, his narrative style is something that I love. But otherwise, I really like James Jean's work. You must have seen it. He did the posters for Pinocchio recently, and also, yeah, I love his work. So I tend to gravitate towards highly detailed, very meticulously.
Tell me about it.
So like even Rajiv, I love his work.
Yeah.
Just the way, even Rajiv Ibe has this whole parallel narrative happening with all of his characters. Like in Maithili and the Minotaur, everything is up. Everyone is up to something.
Something.
And Yeah, each time you turn the page and you look and you reread it, you'll find something new. So honestly, that is one of the reasons why I like to add a lot of detail in my work, because I'm trying to emulate that, the kind of stuff Rajiv does. You know, basically every time somebody picks up my book for the second or the third time,
they'll find something new.
Then it means I've done my job.
So you know what, Saitya, on that note, you and I are on the same boat trying to emulate what Rajiv does. Like he's... He and, you know, there are a few others, Lavanyari as well, you know, a few others as well, you know,
The
details of it. I constantly, you know, always keep the, whenever I create a, you know, a mood board or something, some way or the other, these people make their way into the mood board. It's just always there. It's always there. Huh?
So listen, even Lavanya, like, I mean, I know we're almost at the end, but like the first time I actually saw Lavanyari's work, like Lavanya's work was... I was completely blown away, you know, because I was a first year student in college, and we were playing Uno in the night mess with a bunch of people, and the mess got closed around 12:31 or something. And after that, we were heading back to the hostel, and I just happened to be with somebody else. And Lavanya was like, "Hey, my room is on this floor. Do you want to just come see what I'm up to, see my work?
Oh, wow.
And then you can go up." So I said, "Okay." And she was super sweet, right?
She is very sweet.
Right. And I was not expecting it. And I just go in. And at this point, I'm still of the mentality ki, you know, drawing hota hai, toh aise thoda realistic hota hai. This is, you know, I haven't seen this kind of narrative and stylized work ever, you know. So then Lavanya, you know, we played Uno. We're all very chatty. We're all very happy. And then she invites me into her room. And then she's like, "Oh, so this is what I did for this project. This is the kind of drawings that I'm doing." And I was like, "What?" Just like mind blown, you know, and I'm looking at Lavanya and then I look at her work and I said, "You know what, actually it makes complete sense. I can completely imagine you illustrating stuff like this because you are such a warm and just lively person and I can see it in your work, you know." So that was the first time I saw her work and it was just completely
she really does a great job and I think her understanding, and that's something which I've you know, I have spoken about her color and all of that bunch of times. They're amazing. They're a class apart, right? But I think the way she does a lot of her characters, I know, because I know, you know, I have had conversations with her. I know she's from Calcutta, right? She grew up there, right? She saw those kind of people. I'll tell you what, whenever I have seen her draw a Bengali person, right, or a character who's even remotely Bengali for that matter, I do see a lot of the things that she's been able to pick up. So, you know, as an illustrator, I know, okay, you know, people here, and Saitha, you know, I know this sounds a little stereotypical and whatnot, but would you agree of this fact, and I know we're probably going into a slightly deeper conversation again, but would you agree that, you know, if you look at India, right, our country, and, you know, you look at from a character design perspective, would you agree if I say that people from certain regions, they look a certain way? And I'm not just talking about colors, by the way. I'm talking about, you know, a lot of things, the eye shape, the, you know, the size of the forehead, the cheekbone, a nose for that matter, right? A lot of the things, the structure, a lot of the things are very, I would say, you know, very Bengali or very this or very that or something like that. Yeah. And I come from Bengal, right? I can you know, spot those things because I've grown up looking at people like that, right? What do you think about it? Do you think that that's also something that you see?
Yeah, I'm sure, definitely, you know, I guess I'm not that good at spotting it because I can tell if somebody's from South India because I'm a South Indian. So I guess it's easier for me to spot those, but otherwise, I completely understand what you're saying. But I think more than that, it's also about being attuned to everything around you and being able to recognize what makes something typically northern or southern or eastern or western,
correct,
you're from. So that's, it's also having that very keen eye, you know, for the little details, you know.
And you know, that's like a thing that I would really like to do. You know, I do want to this year, next year, let's see, now that's my new dream, to do a book where I can do justice to the diversity that, you know, we have in this country in terms of, you know, the way we look, because that kind of is one of our identity as well, right? So I really want to do a book where I can explore that in a probably in a much more documented way, probably, and you know, have this book which kind of, you know, brings all of these things together, and somebody reading that would be able to appreciate, you know, the minute things that kind of make us who we are, or, you know, that geographical identity that we have, right? So I that's something which I really want to work on. But yeah, cool. So Saitya, you know, with this, let's bring this towards a closure. This has been a lovely, lovely conversation. I was have been looking forward to it for the last 3 months. People will be, of course, able to listen to it, I think, around March or April when this episode will come out. But yeah, it's worth the wait. But one last question in which we kind of take it, or rather close this conversation, would be, you know, my the question that I ask everybody. I've asked everybody before you as well. I'll ask a bunch of people who will come after you, which is, why do you do this? Like, why do you make art?
Why do I make art? I think it's my happy place. It's something that has brought me comfort ever since I was a kid. So back then it used to be like you know, you're doing this because it's away from your routine. And now that I've made it my routine, and I just love it. And it's also very, there's just so much involved, you know. There are stories, there is, I guess it's my way of telling stories. Mm. I guess it's my way of telling stories.
True, and probably
I don't actually have a very concrete answer.
That makes sense, because at the end of the day, I feel, you know, we like it or not, we call each other or we call ourselves introverts, extroverts, whatever. We all have stories to share, right? And some people just do it in a visual format, like you and I. Probably, like, we like that way of narration where one frame leads to the next frame, and probably we look at the world from different camera angles and we see, okay, I think this would be good as a wide angle something, right? I think that's the way. We like it as well, no?
Yeah, I guess. And also it's such a it's where you can actually have so many new conversations. There's so much other stuff that, you know, so much new stuff you can learn about people who engage right. with it, people who create it, multiple perspectives. It's constantly evolving, you know. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's one of those. Yeah, that's all I've got. I don't have something very deep to actually, you know, say to this. It's just something that I love doing, and I'm glad that I have the opportunity to continue to do so, you know. True. So grateful again for all of these little things. But again, specifically, if you were to ask me, like, why Kidlit in particular, mm-hmm. It's something that I've realized very recently, that, you know, mm-hmm. I would like to be a part of this world of children's literature, primarily because it's extremely important, you know. It kind of helps have conversations and build worldviews about the kind of person you are, just build right. a new language about
right.
Being able to even say, hey, you know, I'm sad or I'm angry or I'm happy. Mm-hmm. But there are stories which will help a kid find the words to say so.
Right, you know? Right.
So that way it just becomes a very important part of your growing up. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. It's not just for kids, you know. It's I'm going to be a crazy 85-year-old looking at pop-up books. And, you know, even then I'll be like, hey, the most exciting thing in my life right now is that I have a new pop-up book of right. Alice in Wonderland.
Right.
So it just brings so much joy, but at the same time, it's vital, you know, true. To your understanding of the world that you're going to grow up in. So yeah, that's something
that makes sense. And, you know, I think for me also, the reason why I gravitated towards children's book literature, initially I just came towards it for, you know, I was like, hey, cute illustrations, I like it, you know, I don't have to think of proportions, yay, so cool. But then also I think with time, you know, and after interacting with a lot of kids, one of them, of course, my cousin, who I have mentioned about before as well, right? He's 7 years old right now, and he's my primary audience, right? So he's the person that I'm trying to, you know, draw or illustrate books for, so that, you know, he kind of, so for me, that's like the persona of my audience, let's call it, right? So he's the persona for me, right? And and you know, I was talking to another of the guests, and I think by this time the episode would have already come out with there's this person in Delhi who runs this thing called Delhi Street Art. Like, they do murals all over the country. They are huge. They're immensely talented group of people, right? And I had a lovely conversation with this man, and, you know, and I was telling him that, you know, if you and since you were, you know, that time when we visited Delhi, like you and I met as well, I think that morning itself, the day we met, that very morning, I went to this one, your Lodhi Art Gallery, which is your the open art gallery, which is, you know, the murals which are done, right? So Lodhi Art District. And I was talking to this person about the thing that, you know, when I went there, I realized it's a residential area. You may have seen pictures if you have not visited, but it's a residential area where all the buildings, you know, they're painted white, and beautiful murals are commissioned and, you know, and by people from across the world, like, and beautiful. Just Google it up later, you know, Lodhi Art District. And I realized that when I was walking there that morning, that, you know, a lot of that's a residential area where a lot of families live. And I saw a lot of kids running around in those areas, and, you know, probably just oblivious of the fact that there's a huge mural over there. And because they've seen it some million times already, they wake up, right? But what I thought was, you know, for that kid, to wake up and see those murals on a daily basis, imagine the kind of exposure that that kid is getting. And who knows, maybe, you know, that one mural would lead to a domino effect or something, you know, and probably change his values in life, or, you know, his whole journey for that matter, her whole journey for that matter, right? So for me, that is huge. And when I know that, you know, a child somewhere probably reads our books, right, and they get inspired about something, right? I think,
yeah,
like you said, you know, finds a vocabulary to express himself or herself. I think that's the biggest takeaway. But yeah. So Saitya, thank you so much. This has been such a lovely conversation. I can't wait
thank
to have
you so
conversations
much
with you. This is
the
second time, and I am so happy, you know, it turned out the way it did. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. I really, really look forward to a lot of new books coming from you. I would visit all the bookstores in Bangalore to, you know, only spot your name over there. So I would love to do that. And I'll send you a picture when I do, for sure. But
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for this conversation here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I was absolutely, this is the first ever podcast I've done, and I'm so glad it was with you. This was really comfortable, really chill, and just like, you know, getting to actually think about my own work and my journey as well. It's not something I've done before, so I'm glad that it happened over here.
And you remember, right? Before we started recording, you mentioned like 1.5 hours ago, just to let you know, 1.5 hours.
I know.
You started off by saying, I don't know how much I will be able to talk. So I don't know how long this episode will be. But here we are.
But now I'm thinking we should actually just meet and talk again, because I feel like there's a lot more to discuss.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, again, Bangalore, of course, I'm here. I don't know if I'll be in Thane anytime soon, but if I'm around there, I would, of course, you know, like to meet you. But who knows, maybe, you know, you and I will meet in another, I don't know, what do you call that? Wait, what was that called in Bukaru?
Bukaru? Let's just manifest it into the world at another Kidlit festival. Yeah,
exactly. We'll meet in those, you know, lounges for the speaker lounges.
Yeah.
The speaker lounges.
Yeah, the speaker lounges for the next Kidlit festival. Kidlit and hopefully
let's meet up over there, and we'll exchange books maybe and sign it for each other. Yeah. Let's manifest
this. Let's manifest this.
Put it out
there. Let's manifest this and tell all our publishers and writers. Like,
oh,
hey,
yeah. We both are open. We both are ready. You know, what do you think? Like, I don't think a lot of illustrators do collaborative work, right? I think that would be really cool. Imagine a book by two illustrators and, you know, one author or whatever. But, you know, two styles coming in together would be very interesting.
Oh, that would be very trippy. That would be very trippy. It is something that, you know, I've discussed with a couple of people like Samidha and all. We've been planning. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this a lot, you know, because she does great printing work and I do like realistic stuff, and her style is completely different. Right. We've had so many conversations about this. Yaar, aise kuch karna hai. Maybe we do a creepy horror story anthology thing, something break out of our everyday kidlit work and do something else. But yeah, it would actually be very exciting to collaborate with another illustrator. I've never done that before.
I've not seen that happen before. But yeah, cool. Anyway, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Saitya.
Yes.
All right. So that was a lovely conversation with Saitya. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. Do remember to check out her work. I will, of course, add the links to the show notes so you can check them out. And if you get the chance, drop by my page as well. And yeah, I'll see you in a bit with another guest in the Paper Pencil podcast. And yeah, till then.